Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Alcoholics Anonymous, often known as the Big Book, is the foundational text of the Alcoholics Anonymous Fellowship and one of the most influential recovery books of the 20th century. First published in 1939 and later revised through multiple editions, it combines spiritual guidance, practical instructions, and personal narratives from people who recovered from alcoholism through the AA program. The book is not a medical textbook or a clinical treatment manual. It is a fellowship document that presents alcoholism as a condition requiring admission, self-examination, reliance on help beyond isolated willpower, restitution, and continuing service to others. Its central purpose is to explain the 12 steps and to show, through member experiences, how alcoholics can move from destructive drinking toward sustained sobriety. Because it addresses alcoholics, families, employers, and professionals, it functions both as a recovery guide and as a cultural artifact in the history of addiction treatment. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, alcoholism is framed as powerlessness rather than ordinary weak will. A central claim of Alcoholics Anonymous is that chronic alcoholism cannot be solved by ordinary resolutions, social pressure, or better intentions alone. The book distinguishes the alcoholic from the moderate drinker by emphasizing repeated loss of control once drinking begins and the recurring return to alcohol despite consequences. Its language often describes this pattern through the paired ideas of a bodily reaction to alcohol and a mental obsession that precedes relapse. Whether or not a reader accepts every term literally, the framework is important because it changes the practical problem being addressed. If alcoholism is treated only as poor judgment, the proposed solution will be advice, discipline, or punishment. If it is treated as a condition marked by impaired control, then recovery requires a different structure admission of the problem, outside support, continuous vigilance, and a change in daily living. This emphasis on powerlessness is not meant to remove responsibility. Instead, the book uses it to redirect responsibility away from trying to drink safely and toward building a life in which the first drink is avoided. Secondly, the 12 steps organize recovery as a sequence of actions. The 12 steps are the operational core of the book. They begin with admission of powerlessness and proceed through belief in help beyond the self, moral inventory, confession of wrongs, readiness for change, making amends, ongoing self-review, prayer or meditation, and service to others. The sequence matters because the book does not present recovery as a single insight or emotional turning point. It presents it as a disciplined process that converts recognition into behavior. The inventory steps ask the alcoholic to identify resentments, fears, harms, and self-centered patterns, not merely to feel regret. The amends steps then require repair where possible, making recovery relational rather than private. The later steps prevent the process from becoming a one-time event by requiring continued self-examination and contact with other alcoholics. This structure gives the book its practical durability. Readers are not left with general encouragement. They are given a repeatable method for addressing craving, guilt, isolation, and denial through concrete acts that can be discussed with another person. Thirdly, spiritual dependence is presented as flexible but essential to the method. Alcoholics Anonymous gives spiritual change a central role, yet it tries to separate that change from formal religious membership. The book repeatedly uses the idea of a power greater than oneself and encourages readers to adopt a workable understanding rather than debate theology. This approach serves a specific purpose within the recovery model. The alcoholic is portrayed as trapped by self-will, rationalization, and attempts to manage drinking through personal control. A higher power, broadly understood, becomes a way to interrupt that closed loop and permit humility, surrender, and accountability. The book therefore treats spirituality less as doctrine and more as a practical reorientation away from self-sufficiency. At the same time, this is one of the areas where modern readers may feel tension. The spiritual vocabulary can seem exclusionary or insufficiently secular, even when the book insists on openness. Its historical context is visible in its assumptions and language. Still, the flexible formulation of higher power has allowed many readers from different religious, agnostic, and cultural backgrounds to adapt the program without fully sharing the same beliefs. Fourthly, mutual identification replaces isolation with shared accountability. The book argues that alcoholics are often helped most effectively by other alcoholics because shared experience lowers defensiveness. This is a distinctive feature of the AA model. Rather than relying only on experts, family members, or moral authorities, the book places great value on one alcoholic speaking honestly with another about drinking, denial, consequences, and recovery. The mechanism is practical. A person who has lived through similar patterns can describe them without sounding abstract or judgmental. the listener may recognize evasions and rationalizations that would be rejected if they came from an outsider. This mutual identification also creates accountability. Recovery is sustained not only by private conviction, but by regular contact, honest conversation, and service to newcomers. Helping others is not treated as a charitable extra, that is presented as a means of protecting sobriety by keeping the reality of alcoholism visible. This fellowship model explains why the book is more than a set of ideas. It is designed to be used within meetings, sponsorship relationships, and continuing communal practice. Lastly, personal stories demonstrate variety rather than a single alcoholic profile. A large portion of Alcoholics Anonymous consists of personal narratives, and their function is more than inspirational. The stories show that alcoholism can appear across social class, occupation, gender, age, and temperament. This matters because denial often depends on comparison. A reader may think that alcoholism belongs only to people who drink in a particular way, lose a particular job, or reach a visibly extreme condition. By presenting varied histories, the book broadens the reader's ability to identify the underlying pattern instead of focusing on surface differences. The stories also illustrate that recovery is not described as identical in every case. Some people report dramatic crises, while others recognize a slower collapse of control, relationships, and self-respect. In later editions, updated personal accounts helped keep the text connected to newer generations while preserving the original program chapters. The narrative section, therefore, works as evidence in a fellowship sense, not controlled research, but accumulated testimony meant to help readers test whether the description of alcoholism fits their own experience. In conclusion, Alcoholics Anonymous is most relevant for people questioning their relationship with alcohol, individuals already participating in AA, family members seeking to understand the program, and professionals who want historical and practical context for 12-step recovery. Its practical benefit lies in its structured path admission, self-inventory, amends, continued reflection, and service. Its intellectual benefit lies in showing how a lay fellowship created a durable model of recovery before addiction treatment became a large professional field. Readers should approach it with awareness of its limitations. It is spiritually framed, historically dated in some language, and not written as a scientific review of addiction medicine. Even so, it stands out among recovery books because it is not merely a personal memoir, a clinical explanation, or a motivational guide. It combines program doctrine, group practice, and many first-person accounts into a single text designed for repeated use. Compared with later self-help books, it is less polished and less individualized, but more embedded in a living community. Its influence comes from that combination of clear method, a shared vocabulary, and a fellowship structure that allows the book to function as both reading material and a guide for collective recovery practice. If you would like to support AAWS, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.